Hi, I'm Kevin DeGristofano.
I'm Sean Flanagan.
And we are the Ninja Turtle Nerds, your weekly podcast for covering the Ninja Turtle comics, one final issue at a time.
We did it.
For now.
We get to the end of Volume 3.
Until we talk about the fan-made ending. This is the last issue, officially, not like last time it was the last issue, but the last issue of the Image Comics run. I'm going to call it that. I would count it as part of the Image Comics run. It seems like they had this planned.
Yeah, the ending seems pretty concrete, so
they may have had it planned to take place over more issues.
Yes. But
I think like just bullet points, they had this planned. So I'm not going to call it Urban Legends. It's part of the Image Comics run. Just took them 20 years to put it out.
That last meeting they had for stories, like, did we body swap? Yes.
Can't remember. And a whole lot happens in this issue, so I guess we should probably just like get right into it. It's
done pretty by packed.
All the same people. What's that?
It's pretty packed for a final issue.
It's done by all the same people that did the last, 26 issues. So go listen to that. This issue came out in August of 2020. So let's go take a look all the way back. I don't know if you can even remember that far, Sean. August of 2020.
This month in entertainment.
Lucky I can remember this week.
So, movies released August of 2020. Bill and Ted Face the Music.
That I saw. It was very good.
Yeah. It's still on my to-do list.
But
I hear good things.
It's very worth it.
So you're saying it's worthy?
Yes,
I know it's a Wayne's World thing, but...
It's everything you'd hope a Wayne's World 3 would be, but never will. Yeah.
Also released that month, a movie everybody feels bad for, The New Mutants, which
still
was delayed...
Still haven't watched it.
...about 47 times, and then finally released when theaters were closed. In August of 2020.
Shout out to Stu from Stu World Order. He says it's not awful, but
that's what I've heard. I've heard, like, basically the general consensus, and I haven't seen it either, but what I gather is I just keep hearing, it's not the worst X-Men movie. That's what I keep hearing, so good for it to be middle of the pack. And then also that month, a movie you might know, The Unfamiliar, kind of looked like a horror story.
I am unfamiliar with it.
I thought that was funny because I didn't look this up, but I think that's the horror movie that Doug sees in the episode of Doug where he's too scared to look at the movie monster and he has to keep going back to the movie and he keeps being too scared so he never sees what the monster looks like. I'm pretty sure that was The Unfamiliar. So, 25, 20, 30 years later, they made that movie from Doug. And then another movie from that month. I haven't seen this, but I just found out it existed. And as soon as I found out it existed, I'm like, I need to see this. It's a documentary called Happy Happy Joy Joy, The Ren and Stimpy Story.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I watched the trailer for it, and in the trailer, they talk about like how Ren and Stimpy influenced like every cartoon that came out after it, and they talk about like how it was like super successful, but they also talk about the dark times, and I want to see how far they go into that, because they talk about John Kay, the creator, and he's interviewed in the documentary. But I don't know if he talks about the stuff that got him fired from the show. So it'll be really interesting to go and take a look at that.
Yeah, I definitely would watch that. Still probably the only person I know of who, you know, knocks the thing he's associated with on the commentary track.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned that on the podcast. It's one of the most awkward commentary tracks is on one of the Ren and Stimpy DVDs. John, for some reason, they had the creator, John Kay, do a commentary on an episode he had nothing to do with. It was made after he had been fired from the show. And he just, like, dumps on the cartoon the whole time. It's really awkward. He just keeps, every time, a new character comes on, he's so bitter. He's just like, oh, look at this character. This is clearly everybody's favorite character right here. Like, he's just, so mad that they dared create new characters after he left and stuff like that. And he's got some yes man with him that is laughing hysterically at everything he says. And after a while, you're just like, dude, clearly you're doing this to try to get some brownie points with him or something, because it's not that funny. But yeah, it's a really awkward commentary track. Go check it out. Music from August of 2020. The Billboard number one songs. August 1st was Rockstar by DaBaby.
Nope.
August 8th was Cardigan by Taylor Swift.
Nope.
I don't know if that was related to Cats, which I feel like came out about the same time that she was in. August 15th, Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles.
Nope.
Which I thought that was a Maroon 5 song. Shows how much I know. August 22nd and 29th was WAP by Cardi B. And those were your number one songs for August.
I got a very awkward education at work when that song came out, so.
And there's no Nintendo Power anymore. We're in the dark times. So I got some sales figures here. So the... Where is it? There we go. The top 10 games... the month this comic came out for sales. Again, keep in mind, Nintendo doesn't participate with its digital sales. So any Nintendo game you hear on this list actually sold more because their digital sales aren't in here.
But really, it's none of your business.
Nintendo doesn't want to play. Just give us, they're like, just give us your money for the games. We know you want to give us the money. Just give us the money. We'll give you the games. We're not going to have good frame rates. We're not going to have the best graphics or the best hardware capabilities. And you're going to keep being loyal to us. Okay. Number 10 was Mortal Kombat 11. Number 9 was Paper Mario Origami King. Number 8, Smash Brothers Ultimate. Number 7, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Number 6, Ring Fit Adventure. Number 5, Animal Crossing New Horizons. Nintendo dominating this chart. And again, so basically Nintendo is probably the top 5 games if you throw their digital sales in. Number 4 was Ghost of Tsushima. Number 3 is Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Number 2 is UFC 4. Obviously UFC fighting game. Number 1 is Madden NFL 21. That's always going to be the top selling game when it comes out. So,
just weird.
I remember seeing some statistic on how crazy well Madden sells compared to other games. Like, don't even try releasing a game the month of Madden comes out. TV events. Let's go take a look at the top streamed shows from August of 2020. Number 10 was World's Most Wanted on Netflix. I think they saw how successful their Unsolved Mysteries reboot was, so they kind of tried doing an America's Most Wanted thing here with World's Most Wanted. I really don't know what that is. I'm just making that up. Number 9, The Incredibles 2 on Disney Plus. Number 8, World's Toughest Race Eco Challenge Fiji on Amazon. Number 7, Lucifer on Netflix. And then a tie for, we'll call it number 5. It's number 5 and 6. The Office on Netflix and Frozen 2 on Disney Plus.
It's a combo.
Number 4, the one and only Ivan on Disney Plus.
That I did see. That was pretty good.
Number 3 is Hamilton on Disney Plus. Number 2 is Project Power on Netflix. And the number one watched show, this is crazy how well this did. The Umbrella Academy on Netflix. 19.7%. So basically 20% of Netflix viewers viewed this title. That's crazy. One in five Netflix accounts.
It's another one everyone's like, it's really good, and I just haven't got around to it.
I haven't watched it either, but apparently everyone else has. And that is all the notes I have for when this comic came out. So why don't you tell us where it's available, Sean? One last time. Play the hits.
So you can get this on Comixology, where it's also known in its physical form as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends Volume 2.
And what a... This cover looks like if Splinter was possessed by Dean Martin, or one of those lounge singer people. I don't know. He's just got some kind of cool look about him where this is like an album cover for him. Like the turtles in the background are his band, and he's taking this weird, almost looks like it could be a selfie.
I thought it was a strangely bland cover for the final issue.
There's not a whole lot going on. I like my version of it where it's an album cover and Splinter's a lounge singer.
It's just odd to me because so much happens in this issue. And it's like, that's all you guys really wanted to do? Just throw them on there looking like, hey, we're going to sing some standards for you. Turtles are going to back me up. I don't know.
Rat Sinatra sells.
It's just unusual to me to end your series on that cover.
Yeah, you'd think because there's so many people not on this. If it were up to me, I would have done one where I just crammed every character from the story onto the cover. Like you could have Pimco, you have the Komodo Dragon guy, you have his brother there, you've got Dr. X, you could even put Leatherhead, just put all the characters on the cover.
Savage Dragon.
Lady Shredder.
At this point, you might as well just throw them in there. But yeah, I don't know. It just was weird. Like, usually, it's the last issue, so it'd be like a big, here are the bad guys on one side, here are the good guys on this side, or something.
So you remember last issue ended with the crew was going to go take down Lady Shredder, and basically what they're doing is they're chasing her back. I think Chang. I couldn't think of his name. Chang is in Splinter's body and he's leading them back. I thought it was Pimco for some reason for a second. Chang's leading them back. And the issue opens with Raphael looking up out of a sewer grate.
And it's really cool looking.
It's really cool looking, and this is one of the only times it's one of those sewer grates that's actually grated, it's got a grate to it. There's holes in it. Yep. I don't know how to say it any different. It's not like a solid sewer cap.
Yep.
And it's really cool looking. And they're looking at this abandoned warehouse. And then on the next page, they crash in like it's a Slim Jim commercial. And they say, welcome to snap into a Slim Jim. And it says, ka-ting! He throws the aforementioned sewer cover through the window and instantly killing 2 foot soldiers, and then jumping into battle with Pimco. And Michelangelo quips, so much for stealth mode.
So I was already kind of bummed on this issue because I don't like generic foot soldier look. They put no effort into them for the last issue. It's just they're ninjas.
And they're only in it for three pages because, as Raphael immediately recognizes, he says they are a diversion. They're only a diversion. And so they kind of just cut straight through them like butter, even though in the first panel, Raphael was kind of saying these are the people who betrayed me when I used to lead this Foot Clan here. And now they just kind of all betrayed me.
Not Somebody get that. My sewer cover. Hey, no one listens to me.
So yeah, the Leonardo, and do you want to call him Splinter or Chang? Chang and Splinter's Chang. Body, who led them here, they're going up the ladder. Leonardo's saying, keep the foot soldiers occupied while we go. And at the top of the ladder, they're met by more foot soldiers, but you know, they're not any match for Leo and Splinter, even if it is Chang in that body. They kind of just toss them right down the stairs.
Yeah. There's no time for fight scenes. We need to get to the end.
And at that point, it's revealed that Splinter got off his leash at some point during the skirmish with those foot at the top of the stairs. Leonardo's like, Chang, which way to the... The jerk snuck off during the fight, and it shows his leash on the ground. But he also says he really is a rat, but that's, I guess, irony, because he really isn't a rat. He really is a human and a rat. But anyway, so back to the Foot Clan fight. Warlord, I never know what to call this character, do you? I know, because they call him Warlord.
I just call him Lord Komodo.
Lord Komodo is in there, yeah. Okay, so Lord Komodo is back. He's leading the charge of these Foot Clan, and Karai is charging right in. And, you know, we know why she's here. She's here to claim her birthright. He's basically like, I don't know if you're talking about the Foot Clan or the armor, but you're not getting either one.
You almost expect him to hold a piece of the armor up, but just too tall for her to get and be like, huh? Huh? Oh, that's what I thought.
But she reveals here that she's not here for either one. She says that now that she knows that they're related by blood, he plans to take over the Dragon Lord's empire, basically. He's like, she's like, I'm taking everything that's yours because it's owed to me. Me, me, me. All about me. And a big old Komodo dragon monster sneaks up behind her and says, hello, Pimco.
Hey, what up?
This was the guy from the end of last issue. Dragon Lord says, I see that you remember my brother. And I don't know why they felt the need to state this, but he's like, he and I also share DNA. And I'm like, yeah, it's being a brother.
Plus, you also turn into a Komodo dragon, so we have that already, but okay.
Yeah. But this particular Komodo dragon feels like he owes Pimco a life debt, much like Chewbacca to Han Solo. Because she nursed him back to health when he was in the sewers, and she's not going to attack her. But Dragon Lord is like, hey, dummy, don't you remember that I can control lizard brains? Wow, that's hard to say right now. He's like, I'm just going to make you attack her. But a twist.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Komodo dragon says, you forget that along with your DNA, I was also injected with mutagen. As if that tells us anything.
Mutagen's just like the answer to everything.
Yeah.
Without any explanation.
Well, I don't know how you're supposed to infer, because he goes on to say, like, so apparently what you're supposed to infer from that is that because he was injected with mutagen, he inherited Dragon Lord's ability to mentally control lesser creatures, in quotes.
Sure.
Don't know what that would have to do with the mutagen, but to catch all. And he just, I guess, if you're the first one to say it, it's true, because he's like, and I'm superior to you. So now he can control Lord Komodo I don't know what makes him superior. I guess they're saying because he can also do the same thing and he's got the lizard strength. I really don't know.
No, you're right. It's because he says it first.
He makes him bow down to him, and then he makes him transform back into a Komodo dragon. And it's important that we note that we end this here where Pimico is standing over him with her sword, and we don't end the issue here, but I'm saying that this part of the story we're going to come back to in a weird way later. So I want to put a pin in this, where she says, "Your Bushido spirit, it's still weak, warlord. You're trapped in your primitive form." And he's going to be trapped as a lizard. And that's where we leave that. She's just kind of standing next to him. We cut to the basement full of people in back-to-tanks that last issue were supposed to be backup bodies for Lady Shredder.
But now it's an army. Done using her.
But now it kind of looks like they're being transformed into an army of Lady Shredders. So I'm not sure. Forgive me if I missed something they said in the comic. They couldn't have just switched it like that. Like, I must have missed something along the way, right?
We're this far in the volume now, and you think that they wouldn't have just switched something issue to issue?
But yeah, so the cyborg armor is starting to grow on all of these things in the tanks. And yeah, I'm reading it right now to try to see if they explain it. Because he said, I think this is Raphael, says, "I wonder if Komodo realizes that he's creating an army for her. They all seem to be connected to this tank." Yep, and then so Dr. X gave them an antidote for the cyborg venom armor. And conveniently, there's one tank that feeds all the tanks, so he just has to pour that antidote into there, and it starts taking the cyborg armor off of all of these bodies. I like this part where Leonardo, I don't know why I like it, but I like where Leonardo is like, "Lady Shredder's going to be pissed."
I think it's because it's just funny to see Leo be the one to say that.
Yeah. And so Chang gets brought over to his body that's in the tank here. And, or did Splinter switch back already?
No, not yet.
So it still is Chang. And he notices that it's his own body, and he's like, that body's dead. So I'm trapped. I can't go back into that body. And Michelangelo's like, "Nah, that stuff only kills the living metal. So the body in the back to tank is still probably fine." He's referring to the thing that they put in the water. And they smash the tank open, which is something that came up in another episode where it's like, you should probably figure out if he can survive outside the tank before you go smashing tanks.
No, it's fine.
Remember there was that issue where you just threw the water heater through?
Yeah. It's the same principle.
I think
principle.
There was another issue, too, where they broke open a back-to-tank here without questioning if the thing could survive outside of it. But
anyone can survive outside a back-to-tank. That's just common knowledge.
Anyway, the two body-swapped bodies start getting into a fight here, because now Splinter is in Chang's body, Chang's in Splinter's body. They have a little bit of a tussle, and Splinter is able to defeat his own older body. He defeats Chang, who is in Splinter's body. I don't know if this is hard to follow or not.
And then they swap back?
Yes, then they swap back.
Okay.
He kind of like puts his... He knocks out Splinter. He knocks out Chang in Splinter's body. Puts his hand on the forehead of the Splinter body. And that's, I think, where he gets back into his own body.
Because of the mutagen.
And then Michelangelo is basically asking questions, and Splinter starts explaining that, no, that body's dead, so now he has nowhere to go. I don't know. I guess the exchange killed the body.
I have no idea.
It was alive a second ago when Splinter was in it.
I just went with it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice, we cut over to Donatello is in a fight with Lady Shredder. And I actually thought this was a really cool way for the volume to kind of everything to come to a head here, because like the most famous thing about this volume is Donatello getting that cyborg armor.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fitting that one of the last things in the volume is Donatello fighting the cyborg armor that he's been like imprisoned in the whole issue. I mean, the whole volume.
Yep. I like the fact too that, you know, he's using a stick to fight the advanced AI.
So yeah, he's fighting him, and then eventually Raphael shows up because he knows where to find all the fights. He starts helping him, and they start reasoning with Lady Shredder at this point. They're like, look, there's no more Foot Clan. We just dusted them all. There's no more Lord Komodo. There's no more nothing. You got nowhere to go. Even though she's saying her plan, I don't think it's dawned on her yet that she lost her back to tank army, because she says her plan all along was to go forth and multiply. But Michelangelo's like, yeah, if you were talking about your cyborg babes in the tanks, there's been an incident, he says. And she runs off going, no, with her cape flapping. And yeah, she's like, what have you done? I can't connect with any of them. She means like connect like with the armor that used to be on them, the Venom symbiote. They might as well just call this cyborg armor a Venom symbiote. And then they explain to her how, I don't know, this part was kind of pointless because we as the reader already know what happened, but they explained to her what they did to the things in the tank, and we're like, yeah, we just saw that. We just saw that you took the armor off these things.
For a run that doesn't want to explain things ever, they do a lot of explaining things you've already read in this issue. So,
and the big kind of conclusion here, I mean, she puts up a fight. She puts up the classic, you can't get rid of me that easily. But I guess the same stuff that they put in the tank that took the cyborg armor off of all the bodies in the tank, they have it in aerosol form. And they just start spraying her like it's like a giant cockroach or something. And they spray her down, and it's killing the cyborg armor on her until all that's left at the end is Karai's daughter on the floor. And then they notice that in one of the tanks is Karai. Because remember last time we saw her, she got all stabbied.
But she's going to be okay.
Yeah, because she doesn't have... They're like, is she going to be okay? And he's like, yeah, she didn't have any of the cyborg armor on her, so the stuff's not going to affect her. And she's in a back-to-tank, so we know that means she's going to be okay. And then enters Warlord, or Lord Komodo. But it's not.
Dun, dun, dun.
He's like, wait, we're not a Pimco, tell him. That's basically what he says. He's like stammering a little bit, and he's like, Pimco, tell him. And she's like, look, he's shapeshifting now. It's the lizard guy who, it's his brother. It's not Lord Komodo, okay? Lord Komodo's over there, and he's dead, and he's a Komodo dragon now. And that's basically what she says. And that's why I wanted you to remember where we left the story off last time, because I guess Pimco killed him after. Because we can see in this panel here that he's been stabbed with her sword. But that's not how we left them before. Before,
right.
It was just her standing over him basically saying, ha, you're stuck being a Komodo dragon forever now. And I thought that's how that was going to end. I didn't think she then needed to kill him, but I guess she did. And then they all roast marshmallows at the end. No.
Yeah, I mean, you're not far off.
Yeah, they're all like talking over the back of the tanks, and they promise to take care of Karai, they being Pimco and the new Dragon Lord, who's a good guy now. And Raphael's like, that's it? We all just walk away?
Yep.
And Pimco's like, I mean, yeah, everything's over. That's basically what she says. She's like, yeah, the volume's over. Let me get the real quote. It says, why not? The real Komodo, the warlord, is dead. We're not enemies anymore. Well, she says, we're not enemies, are we? We settled that a long time ago. So, yeah, she's basically like, well, why not all just walk away? It's over.
Here's a free limo ride.
And then, yeah, this is like the ending of like a Rodney Dangerfield movie or something. Like, hey, everybody, we're all getting in a limo. Let's go.
We're going to a farm.
Leonardo remembers that his hand's growing back, and we see that it's kind of a little better than last time.
Again, Raph's face is just that way forever.
And then Splinter, kind of like he would in like the end of one of the movies, where he's like where he says, "I have always liked cowabunga." Like that's what
this
felt like.
Let's get in the limo. Like,
let's go home in style. I've never ridden in a limo before, so I guess they got a limo and they. The volume ends where they got a ride back to Casey Jones' farm, where I guess they're going to live out their days in quiet. One thing that I thought was interesting, so the last page, it's a full page. Clunk is walking with Michelangelo. Michelangelo's got an inner tube on, and he's carrying what may be beer, might be soda, a six-pack of some kind. He's got like a sun hat on. Raphael has an axe in his belt, which I thought was interesting. He's got the two Sai and an axe now for some reason.
He is leader of the Wood Clan now.
And that's the only thing that's really different. Donatello's carrying groceries. He's still got his metal shell. Leonardo's kind of, I think Splinter is like holding Leonardo's hand for like balance because he's old. I don't know.
And they're
walking to the Jones farm, the end.
Why wouldn't you have a panel of them in the limo? Like, that writes itself. Yeah.
They couldn't afford to rent a limo to draw.
Oh, man.
So that is the end of the issue. So I think first we should talk about this issue and then talk about the volume as a whole, I guess.
Yeah, so I just gave this a 3.5 because I was just kind of disappointed by a lot of it.
Yeah, I wasn't disappointed. I gave it the same middle of the road 3.5. I wasn't disappointed because there's a lot of good action in here. It's more just like there's nothing in this issue that isn't in other issues from this same run. You know what I mean? We've seen them fight the Dragon Lord. We've seen them fight... in a body swap situation. We've seen them smash these back to tanks. Pretty much the only thing we haven't seen is the fight that I said was the highlight, where Donatello is fighting Lady Shredder, and it's basically like symbolic of like he's fighting the cyborg armor he used to be trapped in. So other than that, we've seen it all.
So my title is Anticlimactic Aerosol Antics. Because I feel like every resolution was just anticlimactic. So except the limo.
That's my new title. I'm changing my title. My title is Where's the Limo? No. I didn't have a good title for this one. I kind of struggled this week for a title. I just wrote you remember that episode of The Simpsons? Where at the end, they're like, I'm confused. Is this a good ending or a bad ending? And Marge just goes, it's an ending.
Yeah.
So that's what I titled it. It's an ending.
That's pretty much all it is.
But yeah, I mean, as a whole, I liked this Image volume way more than I remembered liking it. Again, I've said this a few times. I read it for the first time, and the first and only time, really, like over 10 years ago at this point. And I didn't like it then, but I don't know if it's because we're doing it for the podcast and I'm paying more attention, or if it's because it's in this like nice organized collection. I don't know, but I liked it. You know what it was, I think, mainly? At the time I was reading it, IDW hadn't started yet. So this was over 10 years ago. So it was more like all of Turtles comics were everything we talked about so far plus volume 4. And it didn't, like, it stood out way more when you look at it that way. As like, well, this just doesn't fit because it's not connected to the other three volumes. Gotcha. But now that IDW has been going for over 10 years, it helps me like look at this as its own kind of its own Spider-Verse. You know, it's like this is alternate universe, even though it uses the same continuity. I know it's not technically an alternate universe, but yeah, I don't know. I liked it a lot more than I thought I did. I thought it was paced a lot better than volume 2 overall. And yeah, there was some missteps in how they organized things. One thing we mentioned where they should have focused more on the Bat Splinter story instead of letting that drag out. Yeah. But I don't know, man. I really dug this volume. I think the Image Comics Turtles was not the misstep I thought it was.
So I didn't enjoy it as much as you, and I think it's just because it's so all over the place and it gets bogged down in areas that it shouldn't focus on. You know, like we said, like the Savage Dragon stuff's cool, but there's too much of it. Or by the time you resolve Bat Splinter, you've almost forgotten about it at that point. And then even, you know, the last three issues, you're including more new things and then taking impact away from other events that happen. And I don't know, everybody's just kind of like, oh yeah, so-and-so, you're defeated. Got it. You, defeated. Great. You, we're going to spray with this. So I just, it was okay. I agree, the pacing was better.
Of the two volumes we talked about this season, which would you prefer, volume 2 or volume 3?
It's going to sound weird, but I think I prefer volume 2 because I love that Baxter stuff so much.
That is some good stuff. And I like the stuff with the DARPA at the end and that weird cave monster. And there's a lot of good stuff in there, but honestly, I think I prefer 3. I think the Image Comics Turtles did continuity, did a continued story a little better. There were parts of Volume 2 that definitely felt like it was lagging. And for all you could say about this volume, it was never lagging. If anything, it was going in too many directions at once.
Right. That's true.
So it's all about, like, I mean, they're kind of equal. Like, I think I like this one a little more. It's really hard to say. I'd have to go back now and reread Volume 2 to accurately. There's definitely more action in the Image as well, which was something that the book was pitched as. Remember, like,
yeah,
when we talked about at the beginning of the volume, I think when we talked about issue 1, we talked about how their pitch was like, we're taking this from an indie, like, weird science book almost to we're going to make this an action comic book.
Yeah, and again, I think the parts of Image that I liked a lot, again, you know, the Triceraton thing was like the highlight of the whole run for me. So I liked when they successfully brought Mirage continuity in, but,
and they remembered the wheezing, which volume 2 didn't remember to do.
So I don't know. There's just something that puts volume 2 over 3 just a little bit for me. And it just might be there's too much volume 3.
I think, I'm trying to think how many issues are in volume 4. I think it's 32. So there's even more volume 4 when we do next season. And if memory serves, I think that's the craziest volume of all.
Okay.
So we've got a lot to look forward to. There's a lot of insane stuff in volume 4.
All right.
So I can't wait to get it. Listeners should know we are not going to have as big of a break in between seasons this time. So we're going to have bonus episodes, and we pre-recorded all of season three basically so that when we got to this point, we would be able to start season four a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Basically with my job, I don't know when this episode's going to fall, but I just can't do podcasts the whole month of December because we get way too busy in December. I'm basically working nonstop. So we had to find a way to kind of like pre-record things. And on top of like me getting married and going on my honeymoon and stuff, that excuses we've given. There was a lot of time in between seasons before. It's not going to happen this time. So when we start season four in a little bit, you won't have to wait as long. Just wanted to throw that out there. And with that, our third season is in the books. We'd like to take the time to thank everyone who took their time to be a guest this year for us. And we'd also like to thank everybody who listened to the show. So thank you all so much. We're not going to have a big break this time. We promise. We're not going to be pre-recording the entire season ever again. It turned out to be more bad than good for us. And we want, like, look at all the Ninja Turtle stuff that happened in between seasons that we weren't able to comment on because we had pre-recorded every episode. So you had trailers dropping and we had to record new stuff for that. You had video games coming out. We had to record new stuff for that. So yeah, from now on, we're not going to be pre-recording any of the seasons. We might get like an episode or two ahead, but we're always going to be fresh so that we can talk about Ninja Turtle news. And that is the season. So we're probably going to take next week, few weeks off. Then we'll be dropping some bonus episodes, which will be not about the comic books, but about a few things. Like, we have to talk about Last Ronin. We have to talk about the movies we haven't done for movie math yet. And I'm not sure. I know we have a list somewhere of stuff for bonus episodes, so those are going to be coming. We'll probably be taking next week off, though, and I don't know how soon after that the next episode will be up, but like I've said a bunch of times now, we're not taking a huge break in between seasons. It'll probably, season four will be starting within a month or two, so we'll be back for that because I can't wait to dive into volume four. There is some crazy stuff in there. And I don't know. I'm dragging this out now because I don't want to end this season, but it's not like I'm ending the show, I guess. It's still going to keep going. And yeah, more Ninja Turtle awesomeness for the future. Thank you all so much for listening, especially to this point in the podcast. And, you know, like, subscribe, spread the word of the pod. Let your friends know if they're into Ninja Turtles, they should be listening to this. Comment if you're in like Ninja Turtle groups and stuff on like subreddits and things like that. When people are looking for podcasts, recommend us. It really helps because we would really like to see our listeners go up, so that we have a nice big base audience for when we finally get to those IDW comics that everyone wants us to talk about. So glad we're getting closer to that, and we will see you next season on the Ninja Turtle Nerds.